to our remote podcast edition of First Name Basis, where we chat with special guests, industry leaders, and tribal scale employees to have an authentic but informal conversation on a variety of relevant tech and innovation topics. My name is Alice, and I'm chatting remotely with Lede and Bernie today. We're members of the tribe here at Tribal Scale. For this episode, for International Women's Day, we'll be talking about topics related to women in tech. Let's kick it off by introducing ourselves.
So hi, I'm Bernie. I'm a mobile and web engineer here at Tribal Scale, and I've worked on a variety of projects with like a variety of tech stacks, anything, you name it. I was previously a co-op here at Tribal Scale like 4 years ago, and now I'm nearing 3 years of full-time, so it's been a wild ride, and now I'm managing co-ops myself, so it's been full circle, so it's been pretty fun.
Myself, I'm Lede. I've been working for Tribal Scale for the last 4.5 years. It's been a long time. I work for Tribal Scale in 2 different countries. I start working in Dubai, then I move here to Canada, and I've been managing people ever since, managing different teams, different projects, and yeah, and enjoying.
And managing us.
And yeah, well, I'm managing Bernie and Alice, which has been a pleasure. And yeah, that's me.
Right. My name is Alice, and I am an engineering manager and a web developer at Tribal Scale. I first joined Tribal Scale 3.5 years ago as a budding young developer, and I'm working on the React team. Just like Bernie, I've been working on a variety of different types of projects. I've had the opportunity to dabble in a little bit of mobile development a little bit. That was interesting. And in my day-to-day, aside from working on the projects, you know, I also work a little bit with recruitment, work on the leadership team, and also manage some of my reports. And that's me.
Cool. I'm a developer too. Like, looks like I don't work in any projects because I don't say it anything, but I work.
I manage.
I do stuff.
She definitely works. She works a lot.
Okay. I think because everyone here is like doing some kind of management, a part of like engineering work. Maybe we can talk about what we think about management or what are our experience or just a little bit around the management kind of role. I don't know.
Yeah, I could like start off because mine's kind of like in the co-op realm, and it's kind of like a full circle experience. Like I mentioned before, like I was previously a co-op and now I get to be on the other side managing co-ops. So it's been really interesting. When I meet the co-ops for the first time, like I know exactly the feeling of nervousness that they're feeling, their eagerness to learn. So it's been easy to like really relate and connect with my reports. And it's like been fun. So like everything that my co-op managers have encouraged me to do and to get me to this point, I also do the same. I hopefully do the same for them. So it's been really fun to like be on one side of it and now be on the other side of it, and who knows like where we'll take off to.
I've also done a little bit of co-op management prior to this. How did you feel like your experiences as a co-op helped you in your role as a co-op manager? How did you help your team in that way with your previous experiences?
It's like just like what I mentioned, it's like knowing the feeling of being on the other side and knowing like what I know I'm capable of doing, but don't actually have like the nerve to actually fulfill it, but knowing that I can do it, I just kind of give them that, like that little encouragement to try like the new things, to get out of their comfort zone, because I feel like that's where I found myself the most to be growing in career wise and like personality wise. So like to reach that next step and to improve my skills, like definitely having someone push me out of my comfort zone, encourage me out of my comfort zone is like what made me really, flourish in the tech space.
I mean, so I remember one of the first times I was working with Bernie, like new full-time after a co-op. And I know like she was so scared because she messed
panicking.
Up.
Panicking.
she came to me panicking like I broke something. And just seeing her like right now, like after all like this almost 3 years or even a little bit more, like how much she changed, she learned. And now like the level of care like she puts on managing her reports, like, and yeah, it's just like it's amazing to see how someone like grow up. At least in my experience, being a manager is really rewarding when you see things like this. I'm same with Alice. I mean, I remember Alice was so focused on the code and so focused on her React stuff. And now like it's like more focused also on giving to other people and trying to find a way to learn the way to manage correctly. I mean, it's, you see so much grown.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like when I first started, you know, I was so... what is the word? I would say like eager to prove myself, you know, as a really young junior on the team. I feel like I was really excited to join such a big team. There were so many really talented developers on working on all the platform teams that we have, you know, Android, iOS, web. And I've never really thought about going down the management track. I felt like I had to be hyper-focused on the work that I was delivering, like being a better developer. It never even occurred to me. I think one of the main conversations that actually really changed how I thought about how else can I, you know, be a contributor onto our team beside the code that I was delivering was talking to Leyde. I think, you know, it was, I felt really lucky to have Leyde as my manager. She's been, you know, my manager in the last 3 years. And I've had like various managers before that also, but I really enjoyed having the management style I think you brought to the team that you and the people that you manage was really nice. It's a different style of building rapport, I think, that I've often try to replicate when I talk to my reports. A very human first approach, especially as my first, like as a very junior manager, I think there was a lot of things for me to figure out what to do. How do I build that kind of trust? And a lot of times I think about the way that you've empathized with how I feel, the struggles that I've had. I feel that there's more, it was easier for you to feel relevance to me. I don't know if it's because we're both like in a more, you know, there's more male on the team. It was easier to talk to you about certain things. And it was nice.
I think it's like you always have to find your flavor of management. But I think that there is some principles that if you build your management around them, and are pretty simple. The other day I was talking about that on a manager meeting, like just... everything started like based on respect, like on showing, leading by example, showing others how they supposed to behave, and seeing you as an example, and building up like that level of confidence and respect. So you never have to give a direct order. I hate that kind of like management where someone tells you what to do, and because I'm on upper level on the pyramid, I have the right to tell you and you have to do it. I don't think that's the way to go. I think when you teach someone what he or she's supposed to do, and she knows or he knows, and they have respect for you and the team that they build with you, you don't have to ask, you don't have to order, you things happen organically. And people communicate organically, and you don't have to figure out if everything is all right, because if it's not all right, people comes to you and tells you. So I think building that is, at least for me, is the way to go. Also the easiest way, because usually things like get better and fix almost by themselves or in a more organic way. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, a lot of time.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I feel like whenever someone joins, I get a new report. I spend a big chunk of the initial couple of months in our one-on-ones or any interactions we have, like trying to build that kind of relationship, which is a little bit different, I think, in terms of building relationship with people in your day-to-day life, because people tend to gravitate towards people that are similar to you or have similar, you know, energy. But when you're managing, you have to really try and understand different types of personalities. You know, people work in different ways. They have different like idiosyncrasies, and you have to kind of understand the way they understand messaging or the way they communicate is a little bit different. It was a huge learning opportunity for me also to try and like figure out how do I build a relationship with someone who's more introverted, for example. Like I'm very extroverted. Sometimes that, like, I found out that that could be a little bit alarming to some of her reports who are introverts, because I come in and I go, ah, you know, my energy is, and I have to try and dial it back. But I find that once you have that kind of trust, people feel more comfortable opening up. You know, they're more comfortable coming to you and saying, you know, hey, you know, I have an issue with this. Maybe it's hard to, there's some problems you have. It's hard to get across without misunderstanding, but you can understand that everybody comes from a place of good intentions, and then problems comes up earlier and problems get resolved faster.
Because of the trust foundation that you've built. Yeah, definitely credit like all like the managing kind of like aspects of how I go about it to the mentors that I've had, Lere. Like it's always like treating people as a human first with empathy and everything like that, because you can see like the relationship that you have is just a lot more trust, a lot more comfortable. It's not like micromanagement in a sense. It's more you're just humans, all humans trying to navigate this together, and always providing that support, whether it's tech related, whether it's not, you're always there for them, and like always just like empathy first.
What was the most difficult thing that you've experienced lately in terms of like in your time in management? I feel like you have the longest.
Most experience.
Most experience, longest period.
Well, I think like, well, first of all, at the beginning, when I first started being a manager, something that was definitely, that I have to find a way to navigate was like, secrets, you know, like, because you get into some manager channels and some conversations where, well, people is talking about the stuff that you know, this cannot get out of here. And even if you live in a transparent environment, it's still like there are gonna be things that are not for the public, so you cannot tell anyone. And I feel terrible because I'm super transparent, because it's just easier for me. If I always tell the truth, everyone trust me, because I don't lie. And that approach is kind of selfish, because it's really easy when you get into that. But what happened when someone, like a reporter or someone else, is asking you something that you know, but you're not supposed to tell. So my approach to that is, be transparent. I always tell my reports when I start like a relation with them that I always gonna tell the truth. Now, if you are asking me something that I cannot tell you, I'm not gonna tell you I don't know. I'm gonna tell you I cannot tell you.
Right.
Just that. And you know, that is small explanation, like, is the start of building a based on trust relation, because they know that they can ask me whatever. And I gonna ask yes, no, or I cannot tell you. That would be like something that it took me a little bit to figure out at the beginning, because I really want to just continue being me, like the person that just says what like she thinks.
What?
But the second most difficult thing, as always, I think for any manager or any position of responsibilities, know when to let go people. Because I'm a fan of second opportunities and third opportunities, because I consider those things personal failures. When someone fails and you are his manager, her manager, is like, I need to make it right. I need to make it work and figure out that I mean, those moments where, look, you tried, that person even tried, it didn't work out, and figure out when to take that decision was, I think, one of the most difficult things. Someone like told me once that when you fire someone, most of the times it's good for that person, because yes, it was not the right place for that person. So he can, he have an opportunity to find the right place. And that thought like helped me a lot, but it's still not easy, really difficult, and something tough to learn.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like getting fired is like one of those things that everyone experiences at least once. Maybe, I think, I hope, you know, because interviewing and going to a new opportunity, it's like, it's a two-way street, you know, the company is trying you out during your probation, but you're also trying out to see if this company is a good fit for you, like the work that you're trying to do, whether or not it's good. And it's, you know, I like that. And speaking of interviewing though, how do you approach interviewing job candidates?
Actually, you know what this person told me about the interviews? The same person told me, don't get disappointed if you don't get a job offer after an interview, because that literally means it was not the right place to you to be. So, and that's true. I like what you analyzed, is like, yeah, if they don't want me, I'm not meant to be there. I'm meant to be somewhere else. And that helps.
True. It does. I've been in jobs where it's maybe the work is what I thought it was going to be, but the culture ends up not really being what I expected it to be. And it could be really painful, you know, especially if it's a really small company and you're trying to work it out. I think that's why in terms of recruitment, and I think Lady does a lot of recruitment, Bernie does so many interviews. So many interviews of the co-ops every term, actually. You know, but we're, besides trying to find talent, like we're trying to make sure that the people we are extending those offers are a good fit, are culturally, like maybe they'll enjoy themselves here. They'll be able to find ways to contribute naturally for them, that they want to contribute naturally because they enjoy being a part of the team, you know?
Yeah. Definitely, like always looking for someone that's like eager to learn, like just be easy to communicate with, like being on the other end of it. When I was a co-op and I was interviewing, I had no experience, but I knew what I brought to the table. I knew I was eager to learn. I was willing to put myself outside of the comfort zone to like learn something new and be like an asset to the team. So that's how we go about it with co-ops. I feel like you don't have to be like the one with like the biggest skill set in their toolbox, but having that mindset to be like open to different ideas, being eager to learn anything that comes your way, I think is a really, really big asset.
Yeah.
I think when I go to an interview, unless I'm searching for someone super senior, where obviously I have some technical expectations. So, I mean, I don't going to be so soft.
Just a culture interview.
Yeah, it's just a culture interview. For the rest of them, usually it's more like a cultural interview. I'm doing maybe a technical exercise where they have to write some code. But what I'm looking most of the time for not senior people is like, it's not even at the code. I'm looking at, is this person asking me stuff? Because I always allow them to, during the technical interview, to ask me whatever question you have. You can use Google, you can copy paste code. Just please explain me what are you thinking. And with that, I mean, is what I use to take my decision. Is this person opening to recognize that he doesn't or she doesn't know? Is open to ask so he can get some information from me? Is open to collaborate, because sometimes I try to help some candidates during the technical exercise and they literally refuse my help. It's like, but I'm trying to help you. And they refuse. And it's like, I'm explaining to them, we are collaborating, don't worry. I mean, this doesn't penalize. Actually, it's the opposite. Actually, if they recognize, I don't know what you are saying, and they hear me, and let me help, usually it's good for them. I mean, in my score, that I don't have a score, but in my score, I mean, they are getting like more points.
Because, I think that's a really interesting point because, you know, when I first graduated and I was doing interviews, I was terrified of interviews. I would have night sweats. Yeah, still a little bit scared. But I would be shaking like before going to an interview because I felt like it was a test. You know, you go through school and they're tests. They're tests to see. You do countless tests about how much you know, how well do you know, how well can you explain what you know. And, you know, if you go to an interview, you feel like that's pretty much what it is. It's like a verbal test on what do you know, how much do you know, and if you don't, I felt like if I didn't know enough, like I'm definitely not going to land this. And that might be a common misconception. I think that's why people, it's actually a really like fine line for you to tread on how between I should admit I don't know, or I'm always debating like should I admit I don't know or should I try and guess it. And then and see if I can land it based on what's happening. But I, you know, these are tips that I also give people outside of like in my day to day. I sometimes tell them like, you know, there are actually bonuses, especially in the dev world where you don't want to work with someone who will never admit that they don't know something. And it'll take weeks for you to find out that they never got it. They didn't understand. They didn't want to ask because they were afraid that there would be, I don't know, like judgments or whatever. But not knowing it is and talking about the fact that you didn't know is actually a really beneficial thing for everybody because you're able to clear the air, you're able to clear out like what is it that you're not understanding. Maybe you misunderstood something and you're able to move on from that obstacle or roadblock really quickly and to grow faster. But I'm definitely not recommending you go into an interview and just saying, I don't know, to everything like this.
I'm just saying that, obviously.
But do not, like, refuse, you know, the help that you could potentially get to help you unblock yourself on certain scenarios. Because if you join a team, you're not going to be saying, no, I don't want your help. I can do this. You have a whole team to back you up. And I think that's, like, that's the core.
Especially when someone is, like, proposing a game to you, like let's pair together to solve this code that, by the way, is not algorithms. Like, I hate those questions. I don't do super difficult algorithm questions. It's just like day by day, like let's do this feature for this app. And you are presenting a set of rules and the rules are all on like on their side. So I give in these rules. If you follow the rules, be this like checking Google or searching, for example, on a Stack Overflow of this code or whatever, that's fine. It's within the rules. It's good for you. So I'm not cheating. I mean, no, I'm not trying to get you in a trap. I mean, I'm trying to help you. But I think people get confused because sometimes they go to interviews thinking this is a trap. I mean, is someone trying to get me into my no safe space where they're going to try to ask something I don't know. I mean, they are trying to catch me. Yeah, to trick me. Yes. So, yeah, I really try to eliminate that feeling. It's horrible.
I'm starting to appreciate the fact that, you know, a lot of these interviews nowadays, like what the interviews that we do have drastically, I think, moved on from like algorithm whiteboarding questions to formats that are a little bit more realistic and that replicates how we do work here day to day. Because you mentioned pairing, right? And pairing might not be something that all the companies do, but I think at some point, like whenever a developer encounters problems, this sense of pairing or collaboration on trying to solve a piece of problem happens like all the time.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, you know, this person that's working with us is able to communicate, is willing to work with you, is willing to tell you, you know, I don't know. What if it's this? I'm not sure. These are my thought process. This is what I'm thinking. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe this is the unknown. Let's look into it.
Yeah. Also, like, we have to spend 8 hours together a day, you know? So,
including lunchtime. Yeah.
Including lunchtime. So, you better like the person you choose. That's why I think it's really important to get people close, like that. People that interview other people are going to be their future co-workers on the same team Because I mean, I think it's fair that you get in your team the people that you want. Because imagine that I interview someone that is my style, but it's not at all someone else's style. It might be right, because obviously I'm gonna try to hire someone that is good, but yeah, it might be the worst like fit or personality fit for someone else. So I think thinking about where that person is going also helps a little bit.
And it's nice going to work, you know, and feeling like, I mean, I don't think that you should always have to feel this way, but I generally do when I go to work, that I feel like I'm just going to go work on this app with my friends, you know, and it makes it easier for me to wake up in the morning. It makes me look forward to Monday a little bit more. The Sunday scaries goes away. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which leads to the next point.
Smooth, right?
Yeah. So, well, like, it's kind of like how we manage like friendship at work.
Friendship at work. I mean, I feel like friendship at work right now is a little bit different in the last 2 years. You know, the elephant in the room that like is that most of my friends are on a screen on Zoom. I feel like my personality comes through a little bit different on the internet versus like in person. I felt like was really, maybe that's one of my concerns. I like my personality in real life a little bit more. Maybe I feel like it was easier to build relationships in the office. You know,
I could
walk by and just be like, you, we've made awkward eye contact 6 times today as I walk by. Maybe you want to get a coffee, maybe. But with the pandemic and a lot of new people joining, people are kind of like in their own home office or den or wherever it is that they're at. I'm still working on trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it's been really hard being remote and only having direct contact with your team. It's very hard to make friends. So I feel like the friends that we've created are mostly within our team, which is kind of nice because I know being at home and working from home could feel like such a burnout. You're by yourself, but I feel like knowing each other's work ethic and knowing like what people like, what we can talk about throughout the day makes it so much easier. I feel like I'm always talking with my friends rather than my, you know, office mates, Discord mates. So it makes it so much nicer to work, so much less burnout. Knowing when to take breaks, just talking to each other all day. Yeah, that sounds like dreadful for a lot of people, but it's really nice after like 2 years of the pandemic being alone, you know?
Yeah, I think also this, in my opinion, Discord safe or lifestyle or work, like friendship kind of like balance. Because I mean, if I close my eyes, I feel like I'm in this in a small space with my friends working together, and being like just having that channel that I know that I connect and I yell at everyone good morning every morning, and everyone replies, or and I know that Ali's always going to join 10 minutes late because she is just trying to wake up. And then I know that I'm going to hear her boyfriend grinding coffee every morning. It's like kind of a routine. You need those things. And I love it. Like, yeah, as Ali said, like you are not scared of Sunday night anymore because Monday is coming.
It's the case of the Sunday scaries.
Yeah,
it's definitely, I used to get them a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have a hub where you know if you drop in, you'll have people to talk to. You don't feel isolated, given like our work is pretty intense throughout the day. So having someone to like just like talk and have laughs with is like a really big difference in our mental health.
Or you hear like someone having a hard time, like, well, I don't know what this is not working.
Exactly.
And then you unmute you and you say, can I help you? Are you okay? And that's amazing. It's like having everyone with you. And also it's like that allows for more communicate, I mean, not work related communication during or your work time, because sometimes we are, everyone is there on the Discord channel and we are working on our own stuff, coding, and it's silence. And then suddenly someone says something, tomorrow this movie on this cinema. Yeah, we should go. Mm-hmm. So that continuous communication, it's not like you are in meetings the whole day and then you jump on the meeting and the meeting has a purpose, has a title, you know, mm-hmm. you're supposed to spend your time in the meeting on this topic. Discord has no topic. Discord is like, oh, I don't know, I'm just here. Are you here? are you boring?
This episode of First Name Basis is brought to you by Discord.
This
is the sponsored ad. I'm just kidding. It's not. We really do. I really like working.
It saved our work-life balance. For sure.
Yeah. Yep. And so sometimes you are there at 10 p.m. in the night and someone jumps and is like, what are you doing here? Go to sleep. And usually that person is right. Just go to sleep. And you feel like a companion. You always have company.
I agree. I think that one thing that I always remind myself, I think it's hard because I feel like we work all day and then if you have like a work thing you have to go to, sometimes you feel a little bit burnt out. But a lot of times, you know, what happens is I go and I get a coffee, or, you know, I meet up with Leire and we go to the skin class. Like it's always, it always like picks me up. I feel a little bit more relaxed, a little bit de-stressed. And I have to remind myself that, you know, sometimes you feel a little bit of resistance, but you have to take that initiative. I think that's the difference, is that like in an office, the barrier to entry to try and build a relationship is so low. And now we have to try a little bit harder. You know, I have to peer pressure Bernie to track down and like come hang out for a little bit. But it's nice. It's always a good decision in hindsight.
Yeah, I related with that and a little bit related with management and how to coach your reports. There's things that during pandemic, like for example, the Discord thing, you discover it works, period. Like seriously, at the beginning, it's like kind of a burden because you are not used to be there and hearing things all the time. It looks like, poof, just this other thing I have to do, you know? And that's just initial resistance, because after you feel like it's so good, it's so useful, it helps with my mental health, it helps to meet more my teammates, and then you get a report, and he joins, and you are explaining everything, and a couple of days pass, and that person is not in Discord, and it's like, well, I suggest you should be in Discord. You should enjoy this. Seriously, it helps a lot.
Yeah.
And that person doesn't join, and then is like, okay, let's do this. I'm gonna force you to be in Discord. I don't like to order something. Like I don't like to tell you have to do this, but it's like because it's really difficult for you to start. I'm gonna push you. Like, you're going to have to do this. And then you discover that after a couple of weeks, you don't need to ask them anymore. They are happy and they come and recognize to you, okay, I was wrong. This is cool. This is good.
The amount of people we have converted is that crazy.
You're welcome, Discord. Your user subscribership. Travel scale. But also, I think for companies, I think it's important for companies to realize, especially like with the current job market, it's pretty hot even with the pandemic. Lots of people, there's a lot of talents out there, just a lot of really talented people. And you know, I think when we're recruiting, a lot of time we're trying to see good fit, but we're also trying to impress people to like be like, oh my god, it's fun here, you would have a good time, and trying to convince them. And having these kind of tools, or like companies putting in the effort, really aside from like the money that you make or the salary that you could get or the benefits that you're getting, I think a lot of employees stay with companies because of the relationship that they've built within those companies. That's like a big component that's outside of whatever's outlined in the contract that you've signed, you know, outside of the salary, outside of the hard stuff. It's if you can able to build these friendships, you have a better time doing your work. You feel you spend longer time there. The companies don't have to constantly onboard new people because of people coming in and out. Like, you're able to keep talent for longer. It's important for companies to recognize that this is important to keep talent, you know?
I feel like us hanging out all the time, talking to each other all the time, really contributes to this like work-life balance that we have. I mean, we work really hard all day, but we also know when to take breaks and to like talk about things that are not related and, you know, kind of just shimmy it out and just talk about things that we like to do. Show our puppies on the webcam, because I mean,
what's work-life balance to you now that like your work is literally in your life, you know? Like, I am, before for me, when I finish work, I walk home and I go to my life, which is my couch, and then I lie on it. But now, like, I work directly in front of my couch.
Yeah. Exactly.
What does it mean to have work-life balance when you're working remotely nowadays, to you, Brie?
Like, in the beginning, I can tell you, when we were trying to navigate this right from the get-go, I was not good. I was working all the time. And if someone were to ping me after the 5 p.m. mark, I would hop on my laptop because it's right there. I just want to help out and I just want to deliver.
I hated you for that.
And get that project in the line. I mean, that was the reality of it, because I feel like when you are remote, you can't really prove that you're like, you know, doing this awesome work and you're actually present and stuff like that. I feel like you have to always do more. But like through the years, I can't believe it's been years. I thought like when we started the pandemic, like, see you in 2 weeks. but no, we're like almost 3 years in now. But I feel like the work-life balance is definitely at the core, like setting your boundaries and like knowing when to unplug. Like, when do you need to unplug? Like, it's easy to check your notification and jump back, but you just need to know, like, there's always tomorrow. And like, you know what your goals were for the day and you've done them. So it's like, they can transfer the next day. It's not the end of the world. Your mental health and like your burnout is also very important. Otherwise it's just going to get worse. Like, you always have to just like reset, recenter, and like, there will always be tomorrow.
That's what you want. Yeah.
I mean, for me, my mental health days is when we get together on my house and they come by with their laptops and with their dogs and we try to work together here. And obviously sometimes we get more done, sometimes less. But those moments where I remember, like, not the last one, the previous time, I was really trying to solve something and I was getting frustrated and was like, hey, Alice, can you sit here in my computer and try to fix that? And for once in like a week, maybe, I felt relief because I was not the one dealing with that problem. And she helped me and we got it done in 10 minutes. It's just like, sometimes you need that like physical touch.
Yeah.
That we are missing right now. I hope like we can, like in the future, we can have like more like physical relationships, especially at work. But yeah, I miss that. And I'm so happy that we can still doing those like work play dates where we get together, because our mental health days, like maybe the productivity is higher other days, but I can tell that after doing that, my productivity is higher next day. I'm happier, period. So I think balance, like work, personal life balance is good for the companies. It's really good for the companies because when I'm happy, I'm ultra productive.
Yeah.
I'm more focused. I don't know, I put even more proud on what I do. So everything is better quality. So I think it's good for like companies to have people that know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not good at stopping. So Yeah.
Yeah, Leda is a workaholic. Yeah, you're not.
You yeah, need someone to physically get you off of your computer.
But I feel so great when I get out. Yeah,
like I remember that day vividly, like just working like our butts off and like kind of getting stuck and, you know, someone willing to just hop in my chair for a second and take a look. Like that feeling was so nice. Because like, you know, if I was to do it in my own room by myself, like my head would be banging on the keyboard. Like it's so different asking for someone to like, hey, can you come take a look for a second while I go take a little break and just like walk around, versus like, hey, share your screen on Discord. Let me take a look. It's so different. Like that quality of like being able to interact physically is a drastic change and a drastic,
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. not that I don't have a problem with not banging my head. I think that I don't know. I think that my problem is the opposite. Like I feel like it's really important to have like other hobbies, you know? And
you have all the hobbies.
I have all the hobbies in the world. You know, every season I have a couple of different ones, I force people to take those hobbies with me. A lot of my hobbies are partner stuff. Could be nice, you know. I made Leda come rock climb with me. She's still suffering PTSD. I'm waiting for her to go get over that. She blacked out that one time. But yeah, I think you have to get comfortable with shutting off your phone and just being after 8 p.m. just be like, okay, I will reply to Slack yeah. message later. I'll look at it, but I'll reply. I'll reply in a little bit. I'll reply tomorrow morning, maybe. You have to remind yourself that, or find something to do. I think that a lot of times during the day, we're making things that are a little bit not concrete, like we're writing code and stuff. I like to go find something that I could realistically do and interact with physically, even if it's just exercising or going to like a class of something or making something. Or I've been trying to learn I have terrible handwriting, so I've been trying to learn calligraphy, you know, just something, anything that's like not code related. I think it's a good switch mentally for you to just be put in, because I get bored easily. I want to learn things, so I'll go learn something else and then I'll come back and I'll feel less overwhelmed with whatever problems that I'm trying to figure it out. But it's a reminder. You should, for people that is this not natural, like you got to remind yourself, like I gotta go do something else. I'll come back. I'll be back. Yeah. Be right back. Yeah.
You know what's also contributed to our work-life balance drastically is all of us getting a puppy.
Yeah.
If that you is have a really expensive here, habit.
If you're thinking about getting a puppy, this is your sign. It's been like the best decision in this work from home kind of lifestyle, just to like have someone to cuddle or see someone just looking at you like, oh, you are my world. I trust you. Come play with me. Just to get your mind off of like this stupid problem that I'm dealing with that I can't figure out. You just look at them. You're like, life is great.
Yeah. Pro tip though, if you don't want to wake up every 4 hours or every 3 hours in the first couple of months, then you get a grown dog, you know, go to the pound and pick up a grown dog. You don't have to do the puppy stuff. That stuff I wouldn't recommend to my worst enemy. It was a lot. Once they pass 1 year old, it's a smooth sailing from there for sure.
Raising a puppy in the winter time is a whole different beast. So
yeah,
make sure your productivity doesn't get cut.
There's a really interesting question I want us to talk about before we run out of time, which is, I think that I get asked this question a lot. This issue comes up a lot for myself, but I don't ever feel like someone like Leda, for example, I felt like she doesn't experience this. So do you ever struggle with like confidence issues? Have you ever experienced imposter syndrome? You never look like you do. It doesn't look like you do, so I want to know.
I actually think that I thought the same when I first joined. I was like, oh, I want to be just like this girl. Like, she's so confident. She knows what she's doing. No imposter syndrome.
No, like what you see is my brain yelling at me inside. Yeah. Leda, you need to do this. Don't show weakness. You're scared? I don't care. Go to work.
You know what? The more we've gotten closer and the more I've gotten to know you, it's just like, I realize like everyone experiences it. Everyone. It's like, I just hear Lere in the back, like, Lere, think. Lere, use your brain, think.
Yeah, pull yourself together. Okay, for those that don't know what imposter syndrome is, like, what is imposter syndrome?
It's basically, like, it's thinking that you don't deserve the position or the responsibilities that you have, literally.
Feeling like
you are not good enough. Yeah.
Fraud.
Feeling a fraud.
Yeah.
And I think the hype of the imposter syndrome is when you join a new company, I think, because you know no one and you have to prove yourself to everyone.
Yeah.
So that, in my experience, that's the worst, because you have no support. You have nothing. So I would say that I always try to remind myself that this is not the first time that happens, that no one knows the first day what he's or she's supposed to do, and that you can do it. Like, it's okay. I mean, days pass, time pass, and you're going to get better eventually. Now, try hard. Don't freaking slack. Don't procrastinate as much as always. Just focus, lady. Focus. That's what I yell at me. Like, lady, you can do it. And I think sometimes that's what you need, isn't it? It's like being a little bit rough with yourself in terms of like, hey, pay attention. Put all your energy on this because it's important, especially on this moment.
Yeah.
But also tell yourself, hey, you can do it. You know, you are not stupid. You are smart. If they choose you for this job, means something. Like, there was more people applying. So why are you here and not them? So just use your brain, try your best, and start on a good, like, with a set of good steps that are treating people with respect, a smile. Do you know how far you can go just smiling instead of, like, just being a cranky old man? No, just...
A woman, cranky old woman.
A woman. Yeah. This is fine.
Perfect. You know, I feel like also like another area where you feel like a lot of imposter syndrome is like finishing school and getting into your first full-time job. Like, that was me. Like, that was the Lere, that was the Bernadine that Lere saw panicking like crazy when I broke something. Like, it was not fun, but like, I feel like you just need to remind yourself that and look at all the things that you've accomplished and like own those accomplishments that like that got yourself to this position, and like, this is where I should be. And I just need to like put more effort in and, you know, remind myself like, this is where I'm supposed to be. Just need to try more, just doing my best, do your best.
Yeah.
And also there is managers that doesn't contribute to help you. And there is managers that help. Like, I'm not saying that you're supposed to say, so if someone makes a mistake, like Bernie did a couple, at the beginning, and she panicked, and that's fine. I mean, it's her first real job. Panicking is totally normal. Now, you made a mistake, totally normal. The way that you reply to that is like, I don't care that you made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Now, what I care, for example, when I saw what she was doing, is like, what I care is, for example, that you don't read the error messages that saw in your screen and you just panic. Relax, read the messages, we figure out together. Don't click like random stuff just because you are panicking. Relax and we solve it together.
No, yeah, it's crazy. Like,
don't panic.
What's crazy now is like, you have taught me how to fix that issue. I think it was like some GitHub thing. And now I'm like a GitHub whiz and people are asking me how to like resolve Git branches. I'm like, yep. We really did that. And that's when you feel like accomplishment, like someone's able to help you with like that hurdle that you had. And then now you translate it and transfer it to someone else. Just like a whole domino effect.
So I think you need to.
I will no longer panic.
I think you need to like, the important thing is to look back sometimes instead of looking forward, you know, to look back at how much you've, how far you've already come. Maybe it's further than you expected. Maybe you haven't come as far as you want it to. It doesn't matter what your expectations are, but to recognize that there are progress, then to, sometimes we forget to do that. We forget to look at the progress that you've made thus far. And you always focus, I always tend to focus on all the things that I could, might want to know or should know, and then haven't known yet. You know, and it's overwhelming. I mean, I don't have a comp sci background, so my imposter syndrome like was through the roof. My cortisol level was like 99 out of 10. But I think that helps me. I have a good friend, and sometimes, even though it's all jokes, like sometimes he has this one line that he always says that I laugh about. I think it's really important, and I kind of put it into my day to day. He always goes that he never lose. He's always in the process of winning, you know? He's not losing, he's in the process. Even when he has lost at beer pong, he's in the process of winning. Yeah, it is. And I can just retweak that a little bit. You know, I'm not failing. I'm not a fraud. I'm just in the process of becoming, what is it that I want to do?
A winner.
Yeah, a winner, a successful person, a knowledgeable person. I'm in the process of it.
I like that a lot.
Yes. I'm going to send this episode to him later.
It adds a little like humor to like the bigger picture of what
exactly.
You're
saying. And yeah, I like also like the feeling. So when you look back, even if it's a little bit like back, you can see that at the end of the day, you are enjoying the process. I mean, even if I look like 1 week ago and I'm more like, I'm more knowledgeable and I'm more like people is coming and asking me for help. I look back and it's not that far when I was the one asking for help all the time. And now I'm proud. Yes. But it's like, well, I'm enjoying the process. You know, I got stuck here for 2 days and now I solve it. And the thing is like, it was stress, but it was fun. Yeah. And I enjoy it.
Yeah, you definitely like need to like fail a little bit to like learn from it, you know. It's all part of the process of winning.
I'm gonna get that tattooed. So to end off though, what is the best professional advice you guys have ever received? I think I've already shared mine. I have one more, but what is it that you guys have ever received?
I share mine, like about like if it's not, you don't get choose, you are, it's not the right place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And firing people can be the best thing you did for them.
Actually, you said one to me, Lede.
Which one?
That's the best professional advice that I've ever heard from my own manager. Don't be too comfortable.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I think, also, rude awakening. Also take your time, but don't be too comfortable.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own timeline, but, you know, being out of your comfort zone is definitely like, the way you'll grow the most.
Yeah. I think like someone, well, the same person that gave me like the two previous advices, like always told me like that I don't have to, not everyone has to be the same as you. Not even the same opinion, just not the same abilities, not the same areas of expertise. Like, and everything was important or valuable, and you could use different abilities for different stuff. Nothing was better because it was more similar to you. So I try to apply that when I think someone is different, when one of my reports is not exactly what I wouldn't do or not in the same way. But you can evaluate it and say, hey, maybe his way fits this, or maybe his way is better than mine. Thinking that you are always right is the best way to be wrong. So that is true. And I think it's good, like imposter syndrome also, like it's a nice thing to have now and then, to recognize that you are weak and you also need to learn a ton of stuff and you are not perfect and you don't know everything. It's like the best way to get uncomfortable. It's scary and it's shitty when you get in.
Definitely uncomfortable.
But I think you need it now and then.
Yeah, I feel like different we can have yeah, I feel like we can have a whole episode of imposter syndrome. So maybe we will. We'll see. But I feel like we're running out of time. We're kind of running a little long. So yeah, this was very fun. Thanks for everyone for joining. This has been a lot of fun to talk to you guys about women in tech and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess we can wrap it up. So you can check out this podcast and more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on our YouTube. This has been First Name Basis Remote Edition. So thanks everyone. Thanks for listening.